Welcome to the QAV podcast. My name is Cameron. This is a weekly investing podcast where I chat with my friend Tony. Tony's a very successful investor. He's been doing it for about 30 years. His returns on average are about double the market over that period of time. And he's able to get those returns because he developed a system of value investing that we call QAV, quality at value. How do you find good quality companies and how do you buy them at a discount to their intrinsic value? It's basically a scoring system. We look at the fundamentals of the companies, and that's what we teach our club members. In terms of the podcast, we have a free episode each week, goes for about half an hour. That's what you're listening to now. We have a longer episode, usually goes for an hour to an hour and a half. And I'll tell you more about that at the end of the episode. Anyway, let's get into this week's show.
One, two, three.
Welcome back to QAV, Tony. Episode 710, 5th of March, 2024. What's going on with UTK up there in sunny Sydney?
Yeah, sunny. Nice day today. It's still pretty humid. It's good to be out of summer in Sydney. It's weather's cooled down a little bit, but it's just that nice patch. Autumn and spring are always the nicest seasons. What's going on with me? I'm cleaning the apartment, presenting it to show, and then the inspection postponed. So wasting a lot of time spinning wheels with this process at the moment.
Yeah, I'm shocked that it's taking you this long to sell it.
Yeah, it's surprising to us too. We've time-capped it now, so it's got a six more weeks to run.
And then what? You just blow it up, claim it on insurance, set it on? Yeah.
If only.
No?
We're calling for expressions of interest with a deadline.
Oh, right.
Up until now, it's just been open for inspection.
Right.
Almost like a private sale. And we need to put some price tension in there, give people a deadline. Get them thinking that they've got to compete against somebody else and get the price up and get a result. Or not. And if we don't, at least we know we got to move on, do something else.
Well, speaking of things that are up, the All Ords has been up. Record highs in the last week. Again, it's dropped a little bit in the last day or so, but more record highs. Reporting season is over, but now we're in dividend season. So I've had a couple of shares in the last couple of days that have breached a 3PTL or something like that, but then I've gone and checked and they've gone ex-div. So I just wanted to remind everyone, check your ex-divs before you sell anything. A lot of dividends floating around at the moment. But then we've got the ING results, Tony. I mean, we hold ING in one of our light portfolios. This is from the Australian, Friday the 16th of February, which is a couple of weeks ago. Ingham's sinks nearly 11%. Shares in poultry producer Ingham's have slumped nearly 11% in opening trade, $3.86, despite its strong results and lift in dividends as investors digest its mixed outlook. The group's half-year profit jumped 268.6%. $63.4 million as sales for the last half rose 8.7%. to 1.6 billion as more Aussies opted for chicken over red meat in the current inflationary environment. UBS analysts said it was a strong result, but the focus will be on the sustainability of the record profitability per kilogram earnings skew in the second half and the potential feed cost tailwind in FY25. So they announced 268% profit jump and their share price dropped 11%. It's like, well, look, yeah, you had a good half, but, what have you done for me lately? What are you going to do next half, this half?
It's exactly like that, isn't it?
Seems a bit
harsh.
That's
exactly what the market said. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Well, the important comment in that last paragraph you read was the last line where the analysts are focusing on the sustainability of record profitability per kilogram and potential feed cost tailwind in FY25. So they're already worrying about the future. And it's interesting. I mean, there seems to be more, I've never really noticed this before, but there seems to be a lot more emphasis in this reporting season or in this market with forward estimates of earnings. Yeah, it's like if you've had a good result, but you're not forecasting a better result, the shares go down.
You did a pulled pork on ING back in December. I think it was the last show you did in December. It was the Turducken episode.
That's right.
And from memory, you seem to think it was a pretty good company, pretty well run. Good,
yeah.
Good position in the marketplace. ING's,
yep. It's been on and off the buy list for a number of years. Mm. Yeah. So what I'm thinking is, I mean, we were talking off air about regression testing models, and this is a key example where we could use one to see whether we give enough emphasis in our checklist to forecast earnings per share, whether we need to change the emphasis on forecast earnings per share. It's in our checklist. We have a growth item in our checklist, but it's only 1 point out of the possible score, which is usually out of about 15. So maybe it needs more emphasis if we're being tripped up by these companies, which are solid companies, which are on the buy list, and then they just simply say, here's some good results, and the analysts jump on, start to worry about the future, and the share price comes off.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting time. So we bought them, I think we bought them back in December. They were right about when you did your pulled pork, middle of December, they were trading about $3.85.
Mm-hmm.
Went all the way up to $4.30. That was a good bump. But now they're back down to $3.61 today. They've recovered a little bit from their collapse in the middle of February, dropped down to $3.53. They've recovered a little bit, but not much of a recovery.
Have they paid a dividend recently? Sorry to interrupt, because they're on a high yield from memory.
Yeah, they may have. Let me just pull up the old stock doctor. They go ex in March, 14th of March, yeah. Another week or so.
Yeah, okay.
They go ex. It's a good dividend, though. It's 12 cents, fully franked. Mm. So that'll be nice. But
yeah, 6% yield.
Yeah. But they're still, they didn't breach my sell triggers quite yet, because they did have that little run up, but I think they're probably close to a breach for me now. Anyway, I can't figure out why these companies are getting punished for doing a good job. It just seems wrong.
And there's also very quick fire responses these days too, isn't there? This reporting season in particular, we've seen moves within the hour of the results coming out.
Yeah.
Double digit moves, which is a bit unusual too.
Like in a day, because they delivered a record result. Let's see. we bought them on the 30th of November, actually, before your pulled pork, trading at $3.80. We bought them at $3.80. It's currently $3.63, so they're down 5%. But anyway, I don't know. I can't make any sense out of it. Just seems very harsh.
Ooh. Pulled pork time.
Oh.
And then doing a pulled pork on Regis Healthcare.
What's their code?
REG, Reg.
Reg. Oh, I don't think I own any Reg. I think it's safe.
No, that's good. Yeah. It won't affect our performance.
Tell me about Reg, Tony.
Yeah, sure. Aged care services provider. So they operate aged care facilities, retirement villages, home care services, day therapy, and day respite programs. So people would have seen Regis Health logos around. Probably most prominently, the one I can think of was when my parents were in the retirement village. There was a Regis aged care facility as an adjunct. So as you required more care, as you got older, you sort of just migrated from one part of the retirement villages into more of a hospital type setting and received the care from Regis. So that's my brush with them. They were formed back in 1994 by Brian Dorman and Ian Roberts. Ian Roberts was a property developer and Brian Dorman was an accountant. And Brian Dorman saw an opportunity when he visited the cramp facility in Footscray in Melbourne while working as an accountant, and being unimpressed, he teamed up with Ian Roberts to invest in elderly care homes. That was back in 1994. And then 3 years later, there were sweeping changes to the government funding model for aged care in 97, and it improved the sector and enough so that Dorman and Roberts began a series of acquisitions that led a decade later to a merger with the Macquarie Capital-backed Retirement Care Australia. And in 2013, Macquarie Capital sold its stake in the merged entity to the two founders, who then listed in 2014. Regis Healthcare now provides services and facilities to over 7,600 older Australians and operates 68 aged care facilities around the country. I think looking through their story, particularly in the recent years, there's three important factors to talk about that affect aged care operators. The first being there was a Royal Commission 3 or 4 years ago. The second being there is a population demographic which is trending older. And so the boomers are all getting to that age of needing this kind of care, or starting to anyway. And the third important factor in the last few years has been COVID. So to take each of those separately, the Royal Commission into Aged Care has led to the release of a new Aged Care Act in December 2023. It's open for consultation, but the Act will become law at some stage this year. This draft, anyway, Regis believes will benefit them and some of the other providers. And I guess the market does too, because Regis' share price has been going up quite well over the last sort of 6 to 12 months. The reasons why it will the Aged Care Act will benefit, or the new Aged Care Act will benefit Regis, is that it does include improved funding, and Regis will get most of its funds from the government to fund beds in their facilities and services. So there's improved funding to cover staff wage rises, and that's regulated by an independent body. There is another independent body the same independent body to provide funding recommendations, which is linked to the actual costs of providing care, which hadn't been the case in the past. There is a mandated system of what they call care minutes. So it's like a regulated number of minutes per day that a nurse and other qualified personnel have to be present and servicing an aged care user. So that will hopefully remove some of the players who aren't doing that from the market. That's also being reinforced by star ratings, so that different operators in the sector will get independent star ratings, which will show the good ones from the bad ones. And some of these are already happening because they were implemented after the Royal Commission. Some of them are in the draft legislation. So this legislation and the output from the Royal Commission has kind of lit a fire under Regis Healthcare stock, because it has improved funding to the sector, which the Royal Commission found was basically a broken model where the government set how much it was willing to pay, but that didn't take into account the cost of actually providing services, which put these types of companies and providers in a bind. The second thing to talk about is the aging population. And so the average age of someone entering care at these facilities is around 84. And as the boomer population ages, that demographic, or that cohort of demographic around that 84 age, is getting larger and larger. And it's estimated that in the foreseeable future, there needs to be about $60 billion invested in the sector to meet the demand of boomers as they reach that sort of 84 age cohort and need substantive aged care. The last thing to talk about is COVID, which the company is now coming out of. But this company, Regis Healthcare, and aged care in general, really took a pounding during COVID, with, you know, obviously their patients were the most vulnerable to COVID. And so the regulations around them operating were the strictest. But also there were large staff cost increases, because people just didn't want to go and work in an aged care facility. Plus, with the extra regulations, it required more staffing to administer vaccines and to do things as as remotely as they could, I guess, in the facilities that were operating. So that kind of hit to their costs has just gone away. They've called out that they're basically over the COVID cost bump, which is helping Regis to return to profitability. And I guess that's the effect of COVID is borne out by the fact that Brian Dorman, one of the owners, his company Ashburn, joined up with Washington Soul Pattinson back in November 2020 to bid for the company in the takeover at $1.85. And that was just after COVID. If they had have been successful, they would have reaped the benefits because the share price has basically doubled that today. So certainly Brian Dorman, the owner, realized the company was at its low point and that things will get better as COVID passed, and that's come to pass as well. I guess the other point to mention in talking about Regis before getting to the numbers is that it's the last listed aged care play on the ASX after Estia Health was taken over in August 23 by Bain Capital. So healthcare and the play on demographics and the population getting older has always been a favourite theme in the stock market. And so these providers have been taken over and been taken out. Fund managers and a large pool of investments love to play in this space because they can see it. They can see a road to profitability as the baby boomers get older. And so all that's left now is Regis Healthcare. And I guess it does raise the question whether they will last or whether someone will come along and try and take them out, just as Washington Soul Pats tried to do a couple of years ago. But that's by the by. We'll see what happens. But if an investor does want to play in this space, its only option is Regis Healthcare. The numbers. So I picked this one to do this week because it has a large ADT of 474,000. So it's not near the top of the buy list, but it's large enough to be of interest to most listeners. Sentiment is very strong with this company, so its share price has recovered dramatically in the last sort of 6 to 12 months. I'm doing my numbers based on a share price of $3.49, which it was on the weekend, but it's already up to $3.70 today. So since the last figures came out, there has been a bump in the share price, which is still going on. I'm using the latest figures, which are in Stock Doctor now, so that's good. $3.49 was less than the consensus target, but I've got a feeling $3.70 is starting to reach up to it. And as I indicated before, the company hasn't been profitable since COVID, so I can't. The IV1 for this company is negative because we don't have a positive earnings per share to use in our calculation, and IV2 is just slightly positive at $1.12, so well below the current share price, so we can't score it for price or value on price. The yield is reasonable at 3.94%, but it's not big enough to score it as a yield stock. And just to make people aware, it goes ex-dividend on the 14th of March, so it's coming up. Stock Doctor Financial Health and Trend. Financial Health is early warning and Trend is steady. So we don't score early warning, but we'll give it a score for steady. The PE on this stock is not applicable, so we score it as a zero because it hasn't made a profit for a while. The interesting thing, though, is that this company does have good operating cash flow and free cash flow, but they just haven't flowed through to the profit line yet. Regis last made a profit back in December 21 in that half. The big thing, I think, which is exciting the market again is this idea of the forecast. Earnings per share is forecast to be profitable. So forecast earnings per share is 11.6 cents per share, and to make a profit in the next financial year accordingly. So again, I think the market is focusing on what the forecast earnings per share are and placing an emphasis on that. Prop cap for this company is 5.39 times. I'll get that right in a minute, which is good. And net equity per share is only 2 cents, so we can't buy it for book or book plus 30 or anywhere near book value. Growth over PE doesn't score because we have a negative PE. What does score for us is owner founders and those two members, owners I mentioned before, Roberts and his friend, own 55% of the stock. So very strong presence by owner founders. So it scores for that. I wanted to highlight the fact it's not scoring on consistently increasing equity. And the reason I'm highlighting is because equity is shrinking dramatically, down from $158 million in December 20 when it last made a profit. It's now down to $4.5 million in December 23. So it's shrunk quite a lot, and it's getting close to having no net equity, which underscores the early warning financial health, and it puts pressure on Regis to return to profitability. So a lot of focus on getting that right, I guess.
And why the big drop in net equity? Is it just loans?
Possibly, but I think it's they've been using that money to sustain themselves while they haven't been making money.
Right.
So they've been taking retained earnings to pay for losses would be my guess.
Right.
During that period. So yeah, that's been going on, something to pay attention to and a potential risk for the company. But all in all, the quality score is 8 out of 14, 57%, and the QAV score is 0.11, which is just on our buy list, but it's a large ADT stock and it comes on the buy list this week for the first time. Positives and negatives. I think the positives are that the government does seem to be treating the aged care sector with the attention and funding it deserves. So they're also freeing up some of the regulations around opening new centres. And that's, I guess, in acknowledgement and anticipation of the boomer cohort getting older and needing a lot more beds. But that helps Regis in terms of their development pathway going forward. The biggest positive has got to be that too, that the boomers are getting older. So there's going to be a lot more demand for these services going forward. The negatives, the low equity worries me a little bit and does put pressure on them to actually get the profitability, not just forecast it. But I'm also going to highlight as what I think is a negative is, even though it's improving, is government regulation and reliance on government funding. And it's being fixed up now, but it was a big issue for this company prior to the Royal Commission into aged care. And I've just found over the years that companies that rely on government funding can go through periods where the government, for whatever reason, generally because of tight fiscal circumstances, lets the funding slide. And it's like a company with one customer. They're beholden to that customer, and it can go through good and bad times with that. And it happens to be a good time at the moment, but it has been a bad time. And when the government doesn't pay, it doesn't pay. There's no one else to pay. So it can be a problem for these kinds of companies. So I'll highlight that as a risk as well.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's Regis.
They have been on our buy list before. I'm just looking back over the historical buy lists. It's been they sort of come on and off by the looks of it. Let's see how far back I can find them.
And don't confuse them with Regis Resources too, people. They're very different things.
What's Regis Resources code?
Oh, I don't know.
These guys are REG, right? Yeah, okay.
They are. Yeah. Yep.
Regis Resources is RRL, Regis Resources Correct. Limited. Yeah, no, Regis Resources, Regis Healthcare, back in April 22, they were on our buy list. March 22, actually. Yeah, they come on and they come off. But just looking at, I don't know if we've ever bought them. Let me see if I've ever had them in the, let's see if they're in my archive here.
They would have been good buying about a year ago too, because the share price has gone up dramatically in the last year or so.
Yeah, I've got no record of ever owning them, but yeah, looking at their share price in the last year, it's gone from $1.48 March last year to $3.50 today. It's had a corker of a year.
Mm. So which I guess is because analysts are working out that the government funding will improve and this company is so reliant on government funding.
wondering about the nature of this star rating system for elderly care centres. Is it like, is it based around the average number of rats found in the rooms of the elderly people? Like if it's...
Well, it probably is. Is it, you get a one star for that.
Is it inverse? It's the inverse. So yeah. for every five rats we find, we take away a star.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's, we joke about it, but that's been a problem with the aged care sector for a long time is neglect because the government hasn't been funding it to the level that probably should.
I mean, the stories that came out in the Royal Commission were just horrifying, like a physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, just horrifying. Like,
Yeah, and... I can't recall Regis's name being linked with any of that, so I suspect it wasn't. And I guess where they're coming from is they're a big player in the field that can afford to set good standards in and pay their staff well, and the star rating will hopefully get rid of some of the cowboys, smaller operators who might be more inclined to cut corners.
Trying to decide whether or not I should call this episode Counting the Rats or something, but...
Oh.
Might steer clear. It's too dark even for me.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, well, thank you for that one, Tony. It's the one that I wish I'd had in our portfolios.
Yeah.
Over the last year. What did you say it's ADT is?
It's 450 from memory.
474,000, yeah. Too small for 474, you.
474,000.
But big enough for most people.
Yep.
Market cap, absolutely. 1.1 billion. Alrighty, have a look at that, folks. And that's the end of the free episode of QAV for this week. If you're a new listener, I just should let you know how this works. So we have a free episode every week, runs for about half an hour. We have a premium episode also every week. It goes for another 30 to 60 minutes, depending on how many questions we get. It's where Tony answers questions from our club members. If you want to check out the premium episodes and all the other benefits of being a QAV Club member, which is access to the checklist and the Bible and the private Facebook groups and the other comms channels that we have, invites to the dinners, Zoom calls, etc., etc., just sign up for the two-week free trial and check all that stuff out. You can do that at qavpodcast.com.au. Look for the free trial button there. And if you like the idea of value investing QAV style, but don't feel like you have the time or resources to learn how to do QAV for yourself, think about signing up for QAV Lite. That's our relatively new service where we send you the stock tips every week. And then we also monitor those stocks in a portfolio. And if they become a sell, we email our QAV Lite members and tell them that it's time to sell that stock and what to replace it with. Check that out too. It's sort of a low effort way of doing QAV. Still better if you know how to do it yourself, I think, because Tony could get hit by a bus and then where are you? But while he's not, we can do this. So check that out, qavpodcast.com.au/lite, LIGHT. If you don't want to sign up to any of those, just keep listening to the free episode. And if you have any questions, shoot me an email. You'll find that on our website too. All right, have a great week and good luck with your investing. The QAV podcast is a production of Spacecraft Publishing Proprietary Limited, authorised representative of AFSL 520442, AFS representative number 001292718. Please don't make any investment decisions based solely on listening to this podcast. This is presented as general advice only, not personal financial advice. We don't know your personal financial circumstances. Please see a financial planner before making any investing decisions.